You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix. So hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of New Age Hipster Radio. And today on the show, we have Nicole Lee. Nicole is a healer and a coach, and she has worked in the energy healing, coaching, and change space for over 25 years, which is amazing. I can't believe that you're even that old. She's been creating leadership programs across Asia. She supports people on their journeys, guiding them through the dimensions of change, which is something I want to talk about today. The highs, lows, and in-betweens. She works holistically balancing coaching, intuitive guidance, channeling, and energy medicine. And Nicole's programs are designed to awaken your soul, breathe hope back into your world, and nourish your essence, which all sounds pretty amazing to me. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Vix. Thank you. I'm feeling pretty old when I heard that I've been in this industry for 25 years.
What? Oh, my gosh. I should also mention that Nicole is actually my friend in real life, which is like so fun to have you on the podcast. And she comes to my house and she brings vegan food. So, you know, that's just another amazing thing to mention about you. So welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to start by just telling us a little bit about yourself? And I kind of like to do these, when I do these interview podcasts, I like to kind of just open the space to hear about your origin story, because I think it's always so interesting, like, how do people kind of get on the path and start doing this work, and like, how does that all kind of happen for people?
That's a great question. My origin story. I wish I had, like, you know, this cliffhanger, massive drama, kind of, you know, life falling apart scenario. But my origin story is actually pretty vanilla and pretty plain. I have always been fascinated and interested in the energy world, in magic, in the divine and spirit. And I think because I grew up in a home where my dad was an engineer and everything was very much around science and what you see, feel, and touch, the rest of life kind of got muted for me. You know, I learned to shut that down and turned it off. And then it wasn't until I was in my 20s where I met a woman who is, I'm going to call her like my Morpheus. And we had this conversation, and I look back now and I think, oh my God, that was the beginning of, do you want to take the red pill or the blue pill? And she was someone who, she worked in the corporate world, but she had done a lot of seeking and a lot of spiritual development work and had spent time up in Alice Springs with the, you know, all the elder women up there. And she just blew my mind with these concepts and insights and a very different way of looking at life. And I just felt so much truth in it. So much truth. And I could see throughout my life, I'd been kind of looking for it, but getting more lost in the partying and kind of, you know, get a job, you know, that conditioning we all experience. Anyway, long story short, that was what started me really seriously doing the inner work and looking behind the veil. And and I feel like, you know, for a lot of us, we go through these times where there's this accelerated growth, and then we go back into more of like a hibernation, rest, repair stage. And I feel in recent years, someone's just hit the power button, the turbocharge, I think, for a lot of us. So, I find that, you know, even who I am today, and I try and reflect where I was 3 years ago, like before COVID, I just feel like I'm like such a different person now. So the journey is one for me that continues every moment, but it's not, you know, it's not like I woke up one day and started seeing all these amazing beings around me. It's a pretty slow burn, you know, like I'm kind of, average Joe kind of background, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And that's something that I think is really, it's like, I love having these conversations with different people on the podcast because you get the people who've had these incredible life-changing experiences when they were 5 years old and they saw their first light being or whatever, but that was never my experience. So it's nice to have other people on here as well to kind of remind people that it's not always like that. And just because you're not having these kind of amazing metaphysical experiences doesn't mean that you can't be just as tuned in and connected as everybody else is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember too, also, doing a medication, well, a meditation, in my 20s. And I did experience this moment where I could feel the vastness of who I was, right? This split second. But it scared me so much. It scared my mental construct of who I am so much that I did not go back and even touch that sort of stuff until many years later. So, I think part of that whole, having those big experiences or seeing things, you need to be ready for it because otherwise, it's not going to do any good. Do you know what I mean? It can, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a really similar experience when I started getting into witchcraft in high school.
Yeah.
And there were a few things that happened that I was kind of like, I'm not sure I can deal with this. Like, this is amazing, but this is too much. And then some people listening will know the story, but then I kind of got into the church because it felt really safe. Like, I didn't see anything, like lots of weird stuff. Actually, weird stuff did start happening in the church, but that's a whole different story. But yeah, I think it's like, you get these little kind of insights into what it could be like. But if you're not ready and you're not in the place where you can kind of use it for something positive, then it is just like, well, what's the point? You can end up just going on to a completely different path with it.
Correct. Yeah, that's it. So I think it's just such a big lesson in, always trust your timing, trust your path. It's all perfect, right? That whole no need to compare against anyone else. We're all such a unique fingerprint, and to allow whatever way life flows us because it's going to be the best for what we need and who we are.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to, what you said about your meeting your Morpheus, and you had this experience where you just kind of connected with someone who, I guess, helped unlock something within you, I suppose, or like activate something within you. And you mentioned that she was somebody who was in the corporate world, and I know that that's part of your journey too, that you've been kind of like undercover for many years working as like an energy healer in the corporate world. I'd really love to hear a little bit more about what you actually did there and what it was like to work in that space as somebody who is, a little bit woo-woo, if you don't mind me calling
Yeah.
you a little bit woo-woo. Some people don't like
Love
that.
it. I
Some
love
people don't
woo-woo.
like that word.
I am definitely very woo-woo. I always felt like, and I think this may resonate for a lot of people that listen to the podcast, but I always felt like I never really fitted in. It didn't matter where I was. I could never really find my home, my place, and my tribe. And I had such a deep sense of belonging. So for me, it was kind of bittersweet being in the corporate world because there was a part of me that knew that, I was there for a reason and to trust that. But at the same time, I felt like nobody really understood the language and that I wanted to speak, and I felt quite handcuffed and filtered, because I started out in the comms in a comms space, and then I moved into change and helping people work through change because I was seeing a lot of it in the work that I was doing, and I was seeing a lot of people struggling with that and resisting, and I was seeing change being forced, and I was seeing, particularly from the corporate point of view, it being put through as a process rather than dealing with people as humans. And so I really, that's what lit me up, was helping people deal with, the discomfort of the unknown, of their fear of losing what was familiar and having to basically meet parts of themselves that were, I suppose, inner child stuff. You know, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I going to be able to thrive in what this new vision is that they're trying to bring through the pipeline, you know, for the business, you know, whatever that is. And so I loved doing that sort of work, doing the coaching, and holding space for people to actually really see all the parts of themselves, and particularly the bits that they felt really uncomfortable or shameful talking about. You know, that was a piece that really had a lot of meaning for me. But I felt like when I was in the corporate world, I could only go so far, you know, like this was the appropriate arena and don't go outside of that. And I feel part of that was probably my own limitation that I placed on myself. And part of it too was about, it doesn't matter what you do, if you can find the right language to make it accessible for people, like that's the most important thing, right? Do you know what I mean? And so I've had a love-hate relationship with my corporate journey. You know, there's been times where, you know, I felt really blessed and very grateful that I get to work with a whole bunch of people that would not necessarily perhaps, you know, make that conscious choice to come to an energy healer, you know. But at the same time, you know, I feel like I had to. So I left the corporate world 3 years ago, just before COVID, because I just felt like I'd hit, I just hit the limit of what I could do. I felt like I wasn't being authentic to my heart, to my soul, and I wanted to express in a really, like, in a way that was free for me. And I think I had to do that. I had to leave to see some of those things that I've, you know, just been sharing, that we place the limits on ourselves, and it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what is the language that we're using. As long as we're meeting someone where they're at, what they need, and we're accessible to them, the work happens regardless, you know? Mm. So it's been a big journey for me to be able to see that. And now I'm looking at how can I perhaps go back in a way, not go back, but go forward in a way and work with corporate in a different way, in more of a authentic way, to help people through change in a way that I'm not as cloaked. Do you know what I mean? But I'm still being authentic to myself. So it's kind of funny how I've had this kind of big journey with it that I've come back around to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I feel like I've had a bit of a journey like that too, where there were things that I stopped doing, and then a few years later, it's like, oh, I'm coming back to doing those things, like doing readings, which is something I did for a really long time. And then I was just like, I just don't feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I had to have a break. And then I thought, I'm never going to do it again. And then, you know, then you get the nudge to like, actually, you're not going to do it again. But I love your story. And it really inspires me to know that there's people out there in corporate settings and it, like everywhere in all different professions and different walks of life, who are actually, you know, kind of undercover light workers and healers who are dropped into these places to do the work, even if they're kind of have to kind of use different language. You know, you can't maybe talk about like Reiki or like angelic beings in like in some environments, but I think it's really, I don't know, to me it feels reassuring to know that, you know, people are out there doing this work even if they're not calling it this. I just think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's it's really cool from the point of view of, you may not start talking about angels, but you can talk about, you're so much bigger than what you believe yourself to be. And people just get that. Yeah. And it's like this door opens, and then I find the more, you know, I work with that person, the broader the language becomes, and the more that they, you know, then lean into more of the woo-woo world, so to speak. But it's not for everyone, right? And I think that was the other thing for me to accept, is not everybody is on this path. Not everybody is wanting even to do the work. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. It's just allowing them their journey and honoring that part of their soul and what they signed up for, you know?
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I think, you know, it's really easy sometimes when you're on the spiritual path and you're doing all the work on yourself, and you see within yourself all of the stuff that needs healing and needs work, and then you start seeing it in other people. You're like, oh, if that person would just, you know, like do some channeling, or like they need a reading, or you need an energy healing or whatever. But then you kind of, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, now I have to go on a journey of like compassion and love and looking at my own judgments around everybody else. And one thing that I've realized over the years too is that lots of people are doing this work, but they're not calling it spirituality. They're not calling it, you know, they're not hashtag witches of Instagram. They're not even really spiritual or religious or anything, but they're still doing the work. And I think sometimes as spiritual people, we can kind of forget that, like we don't see that. But I think it's important that we do.
It's like we have our own journey through over-identification with something, you know. Mm-hmm. But instead of it being the ego, blah, 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 it still is ego, but it's a different form of it, right? It's like I now feel valued because, you know, I am being spiritual, and, you know, like, you know, all that stuff. We can over-identify with that, and then we kind of, you know, what's the word? End up down this weird kind of pathway ourselves, you know. And I think that was also part of that journey that I had, is that letting go of, you know, because I felt so concerned with, I need to be authentic, I need to be real, you know, like I'm not being true to myself. But like, what was that part of me that was really needing that, you know, like that unloved part that needed the validation to, you know, I felt like I wasn't strong enough in myself to go out and speak a different language, that I would get lost, you know, I would get lost down the corporate rabbit hole if I did that. So sometimes, you know, I wonder, for me anyway, like really identifying with that spiritual aspect of myself was like, no, this is my anchor, this is my kind of grounding. But at the same time, if that's out of balance, that's not good either, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've all seen that happen in ourselves, but also in the spiritual community, where it kind of becomes this vibe of like, you know, and I know people always post these memes about like light workers and how light workers are just throwing glitter on shit, and you know, like they're not really doing the work, they think they're so great because they're calling themselves a light worker. And I like to use that phrase, because I resonate with it, but I understand it's not for everybody. But yeah, that always makes me giggle, but it's always kind of like a little reminder too of like, you know, what are you, you know, if you're just using your spirituality to kind of sit on a little perch above everybody else and be like, oh, they could use some energy healing, then, you know, that's a good time to reflect it back, I think, and yeah, do a bit of shadow work, a bit of mirror work on yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part, right? Is like getting real with yourself, you know, having those hard conversations, having those honest conversations, leaning into the discomfort. And that's the thing with change, is like whenever change comes, ready or not, you know, sometimes it's expected, sometimes not. So, you know, we have to meet those parts of ourselves that are struggling, that are not okay with losing some sense of they're familiar, you know, what kept them safe. And so having those hard conversations with yourself, whether it's about how you identify, and I mean, there's so many labels now, Vix, you know, I kind of feel like Oh, I don't even know where I'd place myself, but it doesn't. And that's why when you were reading out my bio, it's so interesting. You know, I was really observing how I felt with that because, you know, what place resonates with me, you know, or not. And, you know, anyway, that's a whole other different story of the other journey. But I just see these all as doorways to come back home to who we are, you know, and not in a corny way. I mean, like in a real way, you know, to hold space for ourselves because it's the parts of us that, you know, we don't, that we kind of hide behind. You know, I come out shining, hi, how are you? But like, you know, dragging a broken leg behind me, it's like that's what needs our love the most, you know. But we think, oh no, like if I just kind of, like you said, throw some glitter this way, just my compound fracture.
Yeah, it's such an interesting way to look at it. And I think too, like, you know, what you said about like on this path, we do have these opportunities to really sit with ourselves and look at our own stuff. But one thing I've found that's really important is to do that with compassion. Otherwise, you're just turning that judgment round on yourself, you know, and it's like, okay, maybe we can be compassionate with ourselves while we're kind of doing all of this deep, deep work on ourselves.
Yeah, I love that so much, you know, and I feel like I have to constantly remind myself of that often. I find myself saying that a lot to the clients I work with. And as I say it, I'm like, listen to yourself. No, because I have a Virgo moon and I can be really critical, you know, if things aren't perfect, you know, I can be really judgmental. And I love that. I love that whole meeting ourselves from a place of we need to fix it. That's not going to help. You know, that's that place of judgment as opposed to how do I hold you right now? How do I hold you? We don't need to do anything. I just need to just let you be, let you feel crumpled on the ground. And that is okay. We don't need to move from here. Let's just be crumpled together, you know? And then having that discernment within you to know, okay, am I marinating now? Or, you know, like, but that I think that really comes with experimenting, right? You know, like experimenting on when you get up, when you stay there, and you know, just trying new things, practicing new things. But the most important thing is bringing that love, bringing that compassion, but also choosing, like, I choose to be bigger than not bigger, that's not the right word. I'm choosing love and I'm choosing the deeper part of me than my mind chatter. I'm choosing the deeper part of me than the fear that's crippling me right now. You know, just giving yourself that space to consciously say, I'm going to keep showing up, even when it's really tough and even when it's really difficult. I know that I can get myself through this, you know, even if my world looks, seem, you know, is telling me everything very much different to that. Just having that trust in yourself, I think that's such a beautiful thing. And that comes from love. That comes from that compassionate inquiry. I really feel that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a tricky question.
Go for it. Go for it.
I
Like,
love you. I'm just getting comfy for
go,
this.
go.
It's
Oh God,
tricky
she's gonna
question.
do a
Ooh, the
thing.
tricky questions are coming. I knew this was going to happen on the podcast. So one thing that I really love about you and why I was like so drawn to your energy and when you were like, let's go and like hang out, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing, was because you are someone who, like, you do the work, you know, like you're doing the work on yourself and you're looking at all of this stuff and you're doing it with so much love and compassion for yourself. And you know, maybe not always, and maybe that's part of the journey too. But what I would love to know, to hear your thoughts on, is like, how do you get to that place? Because there's probably some people listening, like there are people in this community who are kind of new on the path, who are probably kind of like, how do you Like, how do you get there? You know, like, how do you kind of go from, okay, I've got all these limiting beliefs, I've got all this self-doubt, I do not believe in myself at all, I don't know how to make positive change in my life, I don't know how to manifest what I want, like, I'm just feeling like, how do I get from that space of crippling self-doubt to, I believe in myself and I can show up for myself every day?
It's a dance, Vix. It's a dance, and it comes with forgiveness, because there's going to be days that you're not going to show up as your best self, that the other has more voice, you know. And I think that's part of the journey, that's part of the path, is to actually experience and feel those different flavors within you, so you get really observant of where you are. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, sometimes I don't see it when I'm in it. Like, it's hard, right? But there'll be a breath. There will be something that lightens, even if it's just a moment, and you'll get like this insight where it's like, oh, hang on a minute. You know, just a moment, there's a pause. And it's in that pause where you can choose differently. Yeah. So I make sure I know what works for me. I have tools. Am I, like, I just want to really put out there in a very authentic way, I am no expert. You know, like,
is anyone an expert, really?
Just like, you know, like, there are days I could be doing way more or way differently, but I think it's allowing yourself that, you know, because I really do feel like you need that experience to look back and go, I really see what happened there, you know. And then I find I catch it quicker the next time around. Mm-hmm. But if you've got tools that, you know, really work for you, like, some people really love to dance and move their body when they're really feeling stuff, because it just shifts the energy a lot quicker for them. I love nature. Like, I just love being outside when I'm really feeling like the doubt, the fear. You know, even just going for a walk around our property, yeah, I feel like I can breathe a bit more, like, I let the tension out. Journaling is amazing. I started a 30-day program called Unbound, which was to, most importantly, start to put discipline around my journaling practice. And you know what? I haven't shown up every single day to do that, but rather than judge that there's been days that I miss, it's about getting back up and just taking each moment again, you know, just allowing that reset. And I think that's probably the most helpful thing you can do for yourself, is giving yourself a chance to reset, you know, rather than judging the journey you've been on or how you're showing up. So have some tools that really work for you and go to them when you notice that you're off kilter. Friends are amazing, you know, to just say, I'm in my stuff, can you help, can we have a conversation? Because, you know, people can see so much clearly from looking, you know, outside in. So knowing you've got some key support people that you can reach out to is really important. And then I really would encourage everyone to deeply trust their own guidance, because I find, like, when I get lost, when I feel crippled by fear, then, you know, I'll ask for help, you know, I'll ask my guides, you know, I'll ask the goddesses, the ones, you know, that I work with quite closely, just show me, can you please, I have no idea and I am so confused, please just give me a clear sign. And it normally, for me, I mean, everyone's very different, it doesn't drop in straight away for me. I have to let it go. I have to actually detach from it, which is easier said than done. But just, I tend to go and do something and completely forget about it. And then, I'll pick up a book and I'll open up to a page and it will just be the perfect thing I need to read. Or I'll be drawn to a particular podcast and I'll listen to and they'll say something and I think, oh, that's it, that's awesome. Or I'll go for a drive and it will drop in, while I'm driving. I tend to find when I look for guidance and answers to help shift me out of a certain way of being, I have to let go to allow it to come in, because when I'm like waiting like this, it's like playing ball with the universe. You throw the ball and you kind of like waiting for it to come back, but it's going to come from any angle, so yeah. That, I don't know, does that help?
I love that so much. And I think one of the things is, just as you were talking, I want to add in for anyone who's listening who's kind of in that place of total self-doubt and they're just like, how can I learn to trust myself and trust anything, how can I really believe in myself? I think if you're listening to podcasts like this, if you've been kind of like, oh, I'm going to listen to this podcast, I'm not sure what I'm going to call it yet, but there'll be something in here about believing in yourself and change and limiting beliefs and all these things that we're talking about. If you felt called to press play on this, then you're on the journey. You're on that journey of like, I want to. I sometimes think that just the intention of wanting that change is like, that's the thing that's going to propel you into finding more self-love and finding more self-belief and self-confidence, because you want to feel differently.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, intention is so important, right? Intention, and also letting go all expectations of what your healing journey is going to look like. Because I think it kind of sets us up for a rockier road, like, why am I still dealing with this again? Or, can't this be, it's been 3 years. Why isn't this, shifted yet? I think that's one of the hardest things, right? Is to, you set your intention and you align everything within you behind that, and you keep choosing that as what you feed and not the other. And it's such a place of being vulnerable and trusting that this is what will happen. It's just not what is unfolding as my mind expects it to, like when you have to keep showing up, when things are still falling apart, where you feel like you keep hitting roadblocks, like I think that's probably one of the biggest gifts you can give yourself, like, so have that really clear intention, no expectation, and then just keep showing up, keep choosing, this is me.
Yeah.
This is me. And the as you said that, mate, it was reminding me of, like, I think that's why friends are so important, because when we struggle to see our light, to see the vastness of who we are, then our friends hold that for us. They remind us about that, and sometimes we need that, we need that extra scaffolding when we're wobbling, and that's totally cool. And it's, it's beautiful if you have that safe space, and if you don't, then that's one of your big asks. That's the next thing you ask for. Please send me some people that my soulmates, people that I really resonate with, that I feel safe with, and then see who comes into your life.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And I think that's really, really cool, because the story of how we met was like, I just moved back to Australia after being overseas for 10 years to a town where I didn't know anyone. And I just got this random message, and I'd been, thinking like, oh, it would be great to have some friends who are like in this, in this area, because I didn't know anybody here at all, really. And then I just got this Instagram message from you, and you were like, hey, I live nearby. And I can't even remember what you said, but I remember just saying like, oh, if you want to catch up, let's catch up. And then we caught up, and now we're best friends for life.
MS. Seriously, mate, I was like, what are the chances that you posted and it was in Malden? And I was like, Malden? As in like 20 minutes down the road? What the hell? Because, we live regional, right? We're remote Victoria. I couldn't believe it. I thought, okay, universe, this is interesting. This is interesting.
Yeah, and just yeah, I think but also, I could have got your message and ignored it, or I could have just like there's so many different things that kind of sometimes I think when we talk about, oh, I've manifested this, or I've made this happen, or I've called in this situation, like you still have to kind of do the, do the work. Or I could have just, not said that I wanted to have lunch with you. And then, like, we never would have met. We would have stayed strangers on the internet. But yeah, I think, yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it all happens when we get out of the way. Like we can do all these rituals, which are great, like, and I'm all for that because it sets our attention intention. It gets us really clear on stuff and we reinforce what we want, through the ritual. It's kind of like us showing up and saying, I really want this, but we also need to have that deep feeling of deserving it. Do you know what I mean? For it to come through. So you can kind of be doing all this work, but if you're not really believing that you're going to be able to manifest something, then it's not going to appear. Whereas if you do the ritual and then let go with this belief of, I know it's going to show up, like it happens so much more effortlessly,
Yeah, there's I don't want to make this podcast into like a me talking about my book, my new book, but there is a section in the manifesting book that is all about self-love. And I know we talk about it in manifesting all the time, like, you've got like the only copy in Australia apart from me. We're the only two people in the whole country with a physical copy of that book, so
Really?
yeah.
That's so
Actually,
cool.
no, my mum has one. Sorry, it's three people.
Great.
But yeah,
About
it's like
this.
we talk about this idea of, well, you have to believe that what you're trying to manifest, you have to believe that you can get it. And I think that's definitely like a really big part. But for me, it's like, but you have to actually have some self-love. Like you have to believe that it can ha not just that it can happen, but you have to believe in yourself. And you also have to love yourself enough that if it doesn't happen, it's okay. Like I feel like that's a part of manifesting we don't always talk about. It's like, what happens when it doesn't manifest? Are you going to go into like a whole, oh, I can't believe I couldn't manifest this, and I'm so terrible at this, and the universe hates me, or like, whatever we st stories we kind of tell ourselves. But that self-love part, and it doesn't also, self-love doesn't have to be like, oh, I love myself 100% all the time, and I think I'm the greatest person. Like, it can just be like a little, a little bit that's kind of just enough to keep you going. But yeah, so I love everything that you've been saying about that, because it's just, I feel like it's such a key to all of it, all of it, everything.
Yeah, and speaking of manifesting, the reason I love this so much is because there's so many practical things in here. If anyone's li listening to the podcast, you want some tools and tips. Like, I love it. It's so accessible and it's just jam-packed with stuff. Like Vix, do you know how much research, how many Googling sessions I've had looking at herbs and trying to figure out their magical properties and what do I use for blah, 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 blah. And it's just all
Just
here,
mix it in there,
recipe.
just put it in there. Yeah. But you also know you can use like any herbs, right? Like you can just use what's in your kitchen cupboard. And you
Your
just say, right,
cupboard.
I'm doing a spell for self-love and all I have is basil, which is actually really good for love. But anyway, that's all you've got. You use that. Anyway, this isn't supposed to be about me and my book. This is supposed to be about you. I have two more questions for you. So we've talked about
Strategic you are. You only get one tricky question per podcast. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
I didn't think that would be that tricky. So we've talked about so many things, but we've talked a lot about this, about change, and we've talked about limiting beliefs. And what I would love to know, first of all, is what do you do, and what's your advice for people, and what do you do when you're in times of change, when things just feel like kind of chaotic or whatever, like how do you navigate through that?
Alcohol? No, just kidding. Actually, I stopped drinking after I fell pregnant with Ollie, and just have never been drawn to that since. So trust your guidance, trust your body. When you're in times of change, I think it's, and you feel wobbled, I think it's really important to keep reminding yourself that you are more than your thoughts, that you are more than your emotions, just to put a bit of space between what you're feeling and kind of what you're churning internally, because we can really start to identify with our emotional state. We can really start to identify with some of those fears and limiting beliefs. And before you know it, it kind of throws you off down a different experience for your day. So it's being able to, like, I like to set myself up, like if I'm feeling a bit fragile and a bit unsure, then I give myself more space in the day, you know. And I think we were talking about self-love before, and I feel like that's just a word that we see, self-love, self-care, we see it everywhere, and I feel like it's become not commoditized, what's the word, like people numb to it a bit now, because, you know, and it's the same with change, right? And change fatigue, we get a bit fatigued with it. So for me, you know, I like to think about self-love from a really practical point of view as well, you know, like it definitely forgiveness. I think kindness and compassion is probably the two biggest themes you can, themes and gifts you can offer yourself when you go through change, but also giving yourself space, because when you go through change, you're going on a pretty deep healing journey. You know, things are shaking and rearranging in your world because it's time. And whether or not you mentally feel prepared or not, your higher self has dropped you in it because it knows you're ready for it, you know. So giving yourself that space to decompress, to find your own path through it, being very forgiving around how you may show up, because we can show up in a very reactive space, right? Like we can feel quite triggered by others because we're feeling very raw ourselves. So a natural place for people to go is to armor up, to withdraw, to shut down, to kind of put the defenses there, you know, to feel safe. That's why I feel like if you can create more space in your day, then it gives you that chance to breathe out and to lean more into the discomfort, you know, to meet it, to meet the change, to meet the pain, to meet the uncomfortable parts of you. And, you know, like we said at the beginning, to start having that real conversation, you know, be brave enough to have that real conversation with you, because the bits that are feeling ruffled are the parts that are ready for healing, right? They're the bits that are up to be seen and integrated, and you need to give them space and you need to give them voice. But you do, again, I feel like we're saying the same things time and time again, but this is kind of what works, right? It's doing that in a way where there's forgiveness, where there you do it, not forgiveness, compassion and kindness, and forgiving yourself. You know, it's like I see it as like this spiral where we just go that little bit deeper, that little bit deeper, where we, you know, I feel like I'm saying this a lot at the moment, like we get to reparent ourselves. We get to reparent ourselves through the hard parts and then using the tools that you have. If you want to grab an oracle deck, then do a reading for yourself, pull a card, start journaling, dance, walk in nature, listen to music, sound. There's beautiful what do you call them? Solfeggio frequencies out there that are just deeply healing. For me, sounds really important, so I love that works quite well for me. Get a massage. I love that because it just moves it through your body, and it's such an act of love, of caring for yourself, of nourishing who you are, because we tend to hold a lot of tension in our body. And I think with change, always when we let go hope, then everything gets so much harder. So, whatever you can do, fight for that. Fight for that because it's always there, even when you can't find it. So again, go to your friends, your safe people, and let them hold you. Let them hold that vision for you because it hasn't shifted. It's just you need extra light to be able to see where you are, if you know what I mean.
I love all of that so much. And I have one more question around limiting beliefs. Like when you notice that your limiting beliefs come up, what do you kind of do to work with those and start to change them or release them and let them go?
It's always a work in progress. It's always a work in progress. So I had this aha moment the other day for me of how much I was unconsciously letting fear and other people's opinions of me and their judgment of me, letting that influence my world more than what I thought I was. So again, it's that kindness, when you see it, rather than bash yourself up about it, it's just like, oh, okay, But I think the stage before that is actually going on that journey of curiosity of what's going on. There's something else here. What is it that I can't see to even identify what that is? Because a lot of these things are really deeply buried. And they tend to come up when we have conflict or some sort of challenge, right? We'll normally bring it to a head. So whenever you're finding yourself in that sort of space, it's when the emotions pass and you're in a more centered place, it's lifting up and saying, how is this serving me? What is going on here that I can't see? There is something more at play. And just get curious and start digging. And if you've got some really cool people, you can start talking to them, because again, they see more than you see more. It's clearer outside looking in. So use your support systems to get clear about that. Journaling, I think, is such an amazing way to have a conversation with a deeper part of you that knows exactly what's going on. So first identifying what it is through what's happening, and then it all comes back to love, like meeting yourself in that place where, sorry, I'm just reflecting because I had a conversation with someone this morning where this was what happened, and I'm just reflecting on how we worked through that, and I kept reminding her that, this is where you place your sacred boundary and say, I'm not available for this anymore, and I know I am more than this, and that you offer yourself love, and if you have to get up and shake your body to help move it through, then you do that, but you keep offering yourself love. And if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to give yourself love, then start by asking your question, what does love look like? what do I need right now? What do I need from myself? Sometimes our body tells us, you know? So it's like looking under different stones, always, what's the word? Kind of keep. I just have this vision of, you know, like you pick up a rock and, oh, it's not that, and you put it down, but it doesn't mean walk away, you know, it come back, pick something else up. You know, sometimes it's like we're looking at it from the wrong angle. You got to turn it a little bit. And it's, I suppose part of that is patience as well, right? Patience and doing it from a place of, I'm not broken, I don't have to fix anything. I actually just need to deeply see, hear, and feel myself for what's going on, you know?
So basically, love is the answer to everything. That's what I got from all that. I mean, so much more than just that, but it all comes back to love, and how can you just love yourself where you're at and be kind to yourself? If you can't love yourself, if you're struggling with, I don't really love myself, then, you know, how can you be kind to yourself? Kind of stuff there.
And if you're struggling with love and kindness, then how can you just accept? Mm. Okay, this is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. This is where I am. All I can do right now is accept. So, you know, it's just like micro kind of, you know, they talk about micro habits, just kind of micro moments of moving yourself along that spectrum. I think it's, we set ourselves up for failure to go from a place of feeling defeated and beaten by life to, I need to be optimistic and grateful for everything that, you know, like that's too far. That's too far. Like, just do those micro shifts and give yourself the space and patience to work up that ladder, so to speak.
You are so wise. You're so wise and you're so compassionate, and it's just it's awesome. It's just so beautiful, and it's been so wonderful to have you on the podcast and talk about all of these things that we've talked about today. I feel like there's so much more that we can talk about maybe in the future. But just before we finish today, could you please let people know if they're interested in finding out more about you or even working with you, like what could that look like and where can they find you to connect?
Sure. So my website or Instagram are probably the best places to find me. And my website is just my name, nlee.com.au. So, you know, if people want readings, I do healing, I do coaching, I, you know, whatever is needed, for people. But can I share one card, Vix, that I pulled before we met? I just thought it's so, you know, it's perfect for what we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Claim Your Power. And I love this card because it's very much around saying enough and choosing what are you going to feed today, you know, but finding the strength within us to say, I'm not going to feed this old story anymore. I'm going to do something different. And that's easier to say when you're not triggered. So maybe make that choice and set that intention from a place where you feel really grounded and strong within yourself. And then also know that when you do set intentions like that, you're going to stir up. Can I swear? Is this a podcast where we swear?
Well, I did previously in this episode, so awesome. It's probably fine.
At 1 minute to go. when you set intention like that, you're going to stir up your shit, you know, because anything that stands in the way of that is going to come up to be seen, to be healed. So, you know, like, it's not for the faint-hearted, but neither is being on earth, right? So, and I think we've all got so much more power within us than what we're really truly acknowledging within ourselves. So, you know, always know that you're like way more courageous than what you think you are. And that, yeah, it's time. Enough is enough. Enough. Shine your light. Put your big boots on and get out there.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I'd just like to say as well, like if you're interested in connecting with Nicole as a coach or a healer or a reader or all of the magical things she does, I can personally vouch for her as a I have had, well, like every time we meet up, sort of ends up turning into a coaching session at some point within the conversation. But also had a healing session with you, had a healing with you as well, which was like it was just amazing. Like the energy that you were able to kind of like shift and bring in for me was just really, really, really beautiful. And that was an amazing experience. So if anyone, you know, sometimes it's like, oh well, who is this Nicole person? Can I trust her with my energy? And you know, I proudly, like happily give you a testimonial that you are amazing to work with if anybody is interested in connecting with you in
Thank you, lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It's been so fun to do this. And yeah, hopefully we can do it again because I'd love to have you on the podcast again and we can chat about some other stuff, because we just, you know, time goes so fast when we're having these conversations and we can only just kind of like touch on things really, really briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening or watching. I will post in the show notes all of the details where you can find Nicole, where you can follow her on Insta and find her website. And yeah, we'll see you all next time. Lots and lots of love.
Thank you, beautiful lady.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening and peace out.